right, let's now begin to move forward. Or can we? Let's Talk columnist Keith Skipper has been reflecting on the pastoral impulses of Victorian England and its links with today's green movement, and he's found that in reality little changes and there's nothing new under the sun. Tell us why, Neil.
Paddling in yesterday's waters can produce some unlikely reflections. I rolled up my trouser legs and waited for cool confirmation that the old days really were better. Finished with a lot of silt between my toes. In fact, it soon became clear how little anything changes. Walter Gabriel's old granny was correct if she did say there was nothing new under the sun. For example, the pastoral impulse in Victorian England is being echoed uncannily in some of those forces and feelings of the current green movement to counter the hideous excesses of climate change. Our great debate seems much more complicated as it is elevated to the highest political levels. At least the Victorians were spared too many contributions from that dubious department. High priests in their back-to-back land pulpit, John Ruskin, William Morris and Edward Carpenter, merely had to put up with being called sandal-clad eccentrics who spouted slogans like "the plough is a better backbone than the factory" and encouraged girls to dress as alpine peasants. Perhaps the lasting value of their alternative pursuits was to urge future generations to question a deep-seated belief in untrammelled progress. Even in the late 19th century, market forces working through a process of evolution to balance supply and demand brooked no intervention. It would be foolish to draw too many analogies between this era and that one, but certain similarities are most striking. The late 19th century brought a dramatic flowering of societies for protecting and preserving pieces of old England from urban and industrial onslaughts. We owe so much to these pioneers who really meant it when they talked of saving something worthwhile for their children's children. Agriculture collapsed in 1870, prompting a big decline in rural population. Much land was taken out of cultivation. Again, we make comparisons with our present farming scene, and it's all eyelid fluttering with diversification and large tracts were given over to game. While the pheasant was ousting the peasant, cities were overcrowded. A sudden rush of nostalgia for rural life, still a potent force today, completely ignored the possibility it could be tough, dull and lonely. As the 20th century beckoned, so did the rustic dream with a steady procession of urban emigrants to the countryside. George Sturt called them resident trippers, underlining the fact that big shifts in population can inspire comments not far removed from the uncharitable. There may be comparisons to made here regarding current reactions over second home hotspots. As far as Ruskin, Morris and Carpenter and their colourful disciples were concerned, they made little impact on the overall scene. We must pray our present campaign, which has to go far deeper than an industrial impulse, bears more green fruit. At least those with power to make vital decisions today in the name of tomorrow appear to have accepted, albeit slowly and reluctantly, that not all environmental conscious folk are too into vegetarianism, flowing robes and a selection of Eastern religions.
Spot on, Keith, and thank you, Neil.